Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We hope this week's message encourages and blesses you as we dive into God's Word together. Our mission at Reach is to see lives changed by Christ together in community by loving God, loving people, and reaching our world. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.
Good morning. I'm Heath. If you've not met me, I am currently the lead pastor. I got a few more months before I become the senior pastor. Inside joke. The title of my sermon today is When God Speaks. So I think we live in a culture, irregardless of whether you attend church or don't intend or attend church or don't attend church, we have a culture that wants to hear from God. Some people are like, I don't want to, or I don't know which God's going to speak to me, but most people would love to if God just spoke. The problem is we have a culture that wants God to speak, but we also have a culture that's unwilling to listen when we don't like it. And that's kind of today's message. That's why it's called When God Speaks. We want his comfort more than we want his correction. We want his blessing more than we want his direction. But when God speaks, it isn't for our curiosity, it's for our obedience. Every time God's word comes, it confronts us with a choice. Will I trust what I feel or obey what he says? Will I chase safety or surrender to his will? Two stories separated by centuries reveal the difference. One ends in captivity, and the other fuels the gospel and the early church. Because when God speaks, the outcome always depends on how we respond. And here's the beauty of it. God does speak, and we get to choose. Will we listen and trust his word? Will we operate out of that trust, or we operate out of fear? So let's pray, and then I'm diving into it. All right, Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you that today you put this on your agenda, on our agenda, so that we could hear. And so, Lord, let us be willing vessels that are ready to surrender, ready to walk in obedience, because we trust you and trust the outcome of what you say over what we think and what we see and what we feel. Lord, help us lean into that today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to jump a little bit all over the place, so I'm not going to read out of my Bible and use my reading glasses, but I have the text here. So I'm going to basically give you a summary with reading some of Jeremiah 42 and 43, and there's one little verse out of 44, and then we're going to hop around to four different places in 2 Timothy, and we're going to compare the two. So let's jump into, I'm going to start in Jeremiah 42, starting in verse 1. I'm going to read six verses, and there are some names in there that I may mispronounce. So Mason can let me know how I did. Thanks. Appreciate that. And I'll give you some historical context once I read this. So don't think that you have to understand everything. I'll explain it a little bit. So starting in chapter 1, verse 42, it says, "Then all the commanders of the forces and Johanna, the son of Korea, and Jezariah, the son of Hosiah, and all the people from the least to the greatest came near and said to Jeremiah the prophet, 'Let our plea for mercy come before you and pray to the Lord your God for us.'" Interesting. Interesting that he says your right there. Not our God, your God. "For all this remnant, because we are left with but a few, as your eyes see us, that the Lord your God may show us the way that we should go and the thing that we should do. And Jeremiah the prophet said to them, 'I have heard you. Behold, I will pray to the Lord your God according to your request. And whatever the Lord answers you, I will tell you. I will keep nothing back from you. Then they said to Jeremiah, may the Lord be true and faithful witness against us if we do not act according to all the word with which the Lord your God sends you to us. Whether it is good or bad, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we are sending you, that it may be with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. Historical context. Babylon has invaded. They have removed most of the people of Israel to Babylon, and they've left a remnant there. The king of Babylon left one as governor. He was murdered. Gone. And there's even smaller, some of those were taken off, and this guy, Johanan, he actually rescued some of the people that were being taken off, and he brings them back. And there's an even smaller, insecure group of people that are there. And those leaders, they feared, and their plan was to escape to Egypt for safety because they thought that would be their rescue. But they asked Jeremiah to pray for God's direction first. What they said, pray for us to the Lord your God, that the Lord your God may show us the way in which we should walk. Whether it is good or bad, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God. What they meant. They had already made up their minds. Their prayer wasn't surrender. It was superstition. They wanted a divine validation, not divine direction. They had a plan. We do this sometimes. We're like, we pray that God will bless our plans. We pray that God will confirm all the things that we want to do. And a lot of times that isn't what he is interested in doing because a lot of times our plans aren't really good for us. Most of us in this room that have hurts and pains from our past have hurts and pains because of plans that we entered into without the blessing of the Lord or ones that we're like, we don't care. We're going to go this way. Spiritual principle, selective obedience is not obedience at all. We often say, Lord, speak, but deep down we just mean, Lord, confirm. The practical application, do I truly want to know God's will? Because before you ask God to speak, you have to be willing to say he is God and what he speaks, I will listen and obey. How often do we pray for direction that we've already made? The question is, am I willing to obey before I know God, what God will say? And what happened? They asked Jeremiah to seek God, and Jeremiah did, and 10 days later, he came and gave God's answer. Jeremiah told them plainly, stay in the land. Do not be afraid of Babylon. They thought if they stayed there, Babylon would come in and kill them or harm them or take them away. And he tells them, if you remain, I will build you up and not tear you down. But if you go to Egypt, the sword and famine that you fear will follow you there. What was their reaction? What's your reaction when God speaks something to you that you don't like? Their reaction was to accuse Jeremiah of lying. This is all a scheme of him. Jeremiah, I have determined that the worst job in the Bible would be a prophet. Yep. The worst. They are murdered. They are abused. Jeremiah was thrown in a pit, a cistern that was muddy and just left in there that was going to starve him to death if those people didn't come and rescue him. Worst job ever, because most of the prophets were told, I have a job for you. I need you to go do this, but they're not going to listen to you. Worst job ever. I mean, at least our hope is being in church. My hope is that some of you, I know not every single person is going to listen, but my hope is that some of you will listen and kind of press into God. Well, they at the beginning of their ministry, God's like, you know, you're going to speak and they're not going to listen. Over and over again. So what was their action? They accused him and they ran to Egypt and they dragged Jeremiah with them. What were the consequences? In Egypt, they faced the very judgment they tried to escape, the thing that they were trying to run from. And that's what we run into when we ignore the voice of God. The thing that fear is motivating us to do something else is usually directing us right to the thing that we're running from. God told them through Jeremiah, as my anger was poured out on Jerusalem, so it will be poured out to you in Egypt. They wanted security without submission. They wanted safety more than sanctification. And in trying to save themselves, they lost the very protection God was offering them. So what about for us? What Egypt, this is for you, for me, what Egypt am I tempted to run to when fear comes? When it hits me, what is the thing that I am running to? Like, this is going to save me. God's safest place for me is not the easiest place, which we're going to see all throughout Timothy. It's the obedient place. Disobedience begins not with open rebellion, but quiet resistance. Most of our issues isn't this big, grand, like, I am disobeying the Lord. It's little steps of disobedience heading in the opposite direction. So from Jeremiah to Paul, the people in Jeremiah's day refused to listen. But Paul's letter to Timothy showed the opposite spirit. He calls to faithful endurance in the face of resistance. Paul, like Jeremiah, speaks the word of God to those willing to hear, but the outcome is much different. For the time of Jeremiah, it was fickle. They were like, not really sure. Paul calls Timothy to faithfulness. These passages show a steady heart of a servant who hears and obeys. And I have four different sections in 2 Timothy that I'm going to read. Remember, this is the second letter, which was filled, the first letter was filled with lots of the same. Hey, walk in obedience. Know what you should know about God and obey that. Ignore all the other things that are going on. So the first one we jump into is 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 5. And he says, I am reminded of your sincere faith. He's seen it. A faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and self-control. See, Paul's telling his young disciple, like, this is not what God gives us. If we're feeling fear, it is not something that God has laid on us, because he's given us power and love and self-control. When fear and fatigue threaten obedience, Timothy must stir courage through the Spirit's power, fan into flame. Unlike Johanna, who let fear rule his decisions and take them into Egypt, Timothy is called to rekindle faith and obedience. Faith fades when we stop feeding it. Our faith needs to, if you haven't figured this out already, for those that have been walking with Jesus for a while, we do not start a fire within us that we expect to keep burning. We have to fan into flame. This is the same. Our house has a wood-burning stove. It is completely useless in a sense that all of the heat goes up the chimney, but we love it. We love looking at it, even though it caught our mulch on fire and melted some of our siding last year, for those that remember that. We still love it. But you know what? I don't put some logs in there, start that fire, and expect that thing to burn all night. I have to continue to put logs into it. I have to continue to feed it. And this is what Paul is telling his young disciple. If that faith that we all want, no one's like, I want less faith. Most of us are saying, I want more faith. Well, to have more faith, we have to fuel that fire. We have to feed it over and over again. Skipping a little bit further into 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It says, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since His aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Over and over again, you're going to hear Paul tell him, remember what you heard. And we're going to hear a little bit later a very famous quote that talks about, you know, that all Scripture is God-breathed, and we look at our Bibles through that lens, that this is the voice of God speaking to us, and he's telling young Timothy, remember what you heard, and not just remember it, but be willing to teach it, and not just be willing to teach it, but also entrust it to other faithful people that are also going to carry that flame with them. Johanna ran from hardship. Timothy is called to endure it. And here's one thing that we have to tell ourselves over and over again. If your expectation is that Christianity is easy and comfortable always, you have read the wrong book. You have heard the wrong story. You have listened to the wrong sermon. True Christianity, I mean, even Jesus says, you know, they hated me, they will hate you. They persecuted me, they will persecute you. And we see this in our day and age where we stand on truth and people will hate us for that. True obedience is not proven in comfort, it's proven in conflict. It's easy to obey the things that are easy. It's hard to obey the things that God is calling you to that aren't comfortable, that aren't easy. When following Jesus feels costly, that's when we get to become the most Christ-like. That's where Jesus made it pretty plain and simple when he was praying to the Father before he went to the cross, not my will, but yours. That's our responsibility. A little bit further in 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 14, it says, remind him of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearer. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Timothy's call is to accurately handle God's word, not twist it for convenience, not soften it to please other. Where on the other end, Johanna accused Jeremiah of lying when they didn't like God's message. Paul warns Timothy, don't be that kind of listener or a leader. Listen to what I've said. Going back, I skipped this part. I want to kind of point this out in the verse before. It says, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuit since his aim is to please the one who entrusted in him. He goes on and gives two other examples similar to that. But I was not in the military. But I understand that in military you get orders, and those orders aren't really optional. They're given to you to operate them. And when you're given those orders, you as someone who has received an order don't get to interpret those orders based on what you want to do or have side missions. Like, I know we watch movies, and it's like everybody's got a side mission. It's great. But what he's kind of saying here is you've been given a task and a responsibility, and you need to stay in your lane. You need to stay in the place that God has placed you in and be faithful there. Be a good soldier. Here's a question for you. Am I shaping my life around Scripture, or shaping Scripture around my life? That's one of the big dangers that we have in our world today, is that if you listen to many theologians, I say that loosely, that you see on the interweb, you see, people will take the same verse and give you three or four different meanings for that, depending on who you're listening to. And we need to make sure that we understand it correctly so that we aren't trying to mold the word around us, which is what a lot of people do. They have something going on in their life that they do not want to change, and they say, well, you know, this isn't the intent of the word of God. They change it. We don't want to be people like that. We want to be shaped by the word. We want to be reading it and going, what is it calling me to do? Here's another thing. Do you have a biblical worldview? When you look around you, outside of you, is your view of the world shaped by what God tells us, or is your worldview shaped by you? or someone else. Faithfully handling God's word means humbly submitting to it again and again. This is why we need to continue to be in the Word. This is why I have had conversations with people in my lifetime as a pastor that would say, yes, I've read the Bible. Like it was something that you did. Like you read a good novel and you can tell people about it, but you never pick up that novel again. The Bible isn't like that. The Bible is intended to be read, soaked in, memorized, meditated on over and over again. Because it is the one thing that shapes us. It's the one thing that when I'm unwilling to bend to what's going on or I'm about to bend to the world's standard, I get to see, like this week. You get to see the picture of two different stories. One that's willing to listen to the Word of God and be shaped by it, and the other that's saying, no, I'm going to choose my own way. Here we go again. 2 Timothy, now we're in chapter 3, starting in verse 14, and we're going to go through chapter 4, verse 5. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from who you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. If we don't allow Scripture to be what Scripture is, breathed out by God, and allow it to teach us and correct us and, you know, confront us, we won't be trained in righteousness. We won't be complete and equipped for every good work. And some of our issue of like, man, I want to be better at this, we need to let the Word shape us. Verse 1 in chapter 4, it says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministries. While others chase teachers that tickle their ears. In our culture, in our world that we live in right now, you can find them readily. You can find teachers that will pretty much tell you anything that you want. Teachers that will let you live any way that you want. You can listen to them, and they may do a pretty good job of convincing you based on what you hear from them if you're unable to kind of pick apart what the Bible's actually saying. See, Timothy, in the middle of this is part of his job and what was going on. There's these false teachers that were coming in and telling people, hey, the Lord has already returned. I mean, he called out people by name. We talked about this last week. He called out more people in 2 Timothy because they're missing it. And in spite of that, he's called Timothy to continue to stand firm on the truth, preaching faithfully, whether it's popular or not. In contrast, Johanna heard and ran. Timothy must hear and remain. He must stay where it's hard and preach when it's unpopular. Here's another one, and we've seen the consequence of this. God doesn't bless talent. He blesses faithful obedience. And we see that in our culture over the last, it's really been since the beginning of the church, but in the last probably decade, you've seen more and more of this where you have people whose characters don't match. They have high talent and low character. And that will it seems like a blessing and things that are happening and look how good they are. And we need to make sure that we're in the same vein, in the same truth that God's in. Faithful obedience is what he's asking us for, not talent. I mean, Paul said to, in at least one of his books, he's like, he's not blessed me with good speaking. A lot of his argument to the early church was like, you had these super apostles that come in and they're great preachers, but they're preaching the wrong thing. Don't get swayed into that. The reward of obedience. Joanna's story ends in Egypt, captivity and loss. Timothy's obedience fuels the gospel advancement and shapes the church for centuries. Obedience, almost always, will feel costly in the moment. But here's the thing that we need to make sure that we understand. We need to make sure that we're counting the real cost. But disobedience is always more expensive. Disobedience will always cost you more and linger longer. Jesus himself showed us this, not my will, but yours be done. The path, it seemed costly, the path of obedience for him led to the cross, but also to resurrection and to glory and a path for us for salvation. He understood it. It literally says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross because he understood what the cross would give us. When God speaks, both Jeremiah and Paul show us that hearing God's word is not the goal. I heard someone say this, I forgot who it was. Most of us don't need more inspiration. We need more application. Most of us in this room have more Bible knowledge than you'll ever know what to do with. And you're like, no, I need more. Another thing that I've kind of told myself over the years, when God speaks, you need to stay on your last orders, for going back to soldiers. Soldiers stay on that order until they get a new order, and they stay on that place of being obedient to that order. And some of us need to be looking at ourselves and going, what has God told us that I'm not walking in obedience? And here's the beauty that we see throughout the Bible and in our life. When we realize we've misspoken, that we've misstepped, that we've gone a different direction, when we come to the Father and say, Lord, I surrender, I confess, and I need help, he is willing to bring us up out of that. Joanna said, we will obey, but he didn't. Timothy was told to continue and endure, and he did. One hardened his heart, and it led into exile. One faithfully walked out what God had spoken to him, and he built the church. Here's something that may be hard to hear. Don't pray for guidance if you have no plan on following what he says. Look, here's the mystery, and it's difficult. And I know most of us in this room be like, then let me know and hear the voice of God. The greatest place that I can point you that you will see and hear his voice over and over again is our Bibles. First place that you need to start when you go, Lord, I need to hear your voice, start in the Bible. The Bible is what helps us understand when we get other. I think God speaks to us today outside of the Bible. Now, I don't mean like Old Testament prophets, thus saith the Lord, but I think God, through the Holy Spirit, speaks to us. But we must know his word so we can anchor what he speaks. Is this Because here's the one thing. God will never speak to you in a way that goes against what his word says. God will never, like, well, God, if someone tells you that God said, and right after that they say something that God would not say, then, I mean, not that you have to say this to their face, but basically, you listening to the wrong Lord. So before you start praying for God to speak, settle, are you interested in walking in obedience when he says? Because a lot of the things that he speaks to us have lasting implications. I am in Leland right now, 13 years after we moved here to plant a church. It was not something that I was looking for. I was not ever, if y'all know my story, I was not ever planning to plant a church. I was planning to be a youth pastor, which is so much easier. You know what? And if I got in trouble, if I said something stupid, I just pointed them to the pastor. Like, go take it up with him. He hired me. It's his fault. And one of the things that I felt like God saying to me before we came here was come and die. Let me just tell you, the last 13 years, and I'm not fully dead yet, because he keeps trying to get me there. There's been a lot of death in me, because there's pieces of me that I'm like, okay, God, I'm here doing your work. And the danger of it is I can go, well, I'm here because you said so. I've listened as much as I need to, and I can go, and this is the danger for me, I can try to operate in my own strength, in my own abilities now. And that is not what God has called. God has called us to be in relationship with him so that we are operating in faith as we're operating as that continues. Like, the most dangerous place for me, for you guys, is Heath listening to Heath. I, just like you, have to be willing to go, God, what are you asking? And be willing to listen and be willing, because I ended up here in another city. All of my family lives in the city that I came from. When we moved here, all of my grandparents were alive, and all of them but one is not now. And I spent 13 years here in the city away from all the my family. And now sometimes that's really, some of you are like, man, I'd love to get away from my family. I'm actually going home today to see my dad. His birthday is this week. Hang out for him for a few days. But we have to be willing to say, God, I'm going to go where you ask me to go, and I'm going to speak the things that you've asked me to speak. The safest place in your life will always be living surrendered and walking in obedience to the word that God has planted in you. And if you don't know the word yet, begin to submit to that and ask, God, speak, God, speak. So here's a question for you. I'm going to invite our worship team back up. Where is God asking you to walk out this truth? Some of us in this room, it isn't that you need a new word, that you need this, you know, revelation from the Lord. Some of it is God has spoken, and you need to walk in obedience to the things that he's already spoken. So where is that thing? Where is that place where God is asking you to walk out that truth? Because when God speaks, and I believe he does, you get to make a choice. You get to decide, will I trust in what God is doing for me? Or will I continue to trust in myself? Today, for those that haven't been with us through communion, where we take it here, at the church, you may be asking yourself, like, who gets this? Well, maybe let me answer the question first. What is this? This is communion in the cup. These represent the blood and body of Christ. One of the things that Jesus asked us to do, his disciples, when we gather together to remember the work, because this is the reminder. Here's one of the first truths that we have to understand before we listen and obey his voice, is that God has done what we could not do. Your salvation is not on your good works, your good effort, what you've sacrificed and done. Your salvation is all based on this. this juice and this bread, it doesn't save you, but it represents the things that do. And so who is this available for? If you're new to Reach, you're not a member here, this is available to anyone that has said yes to Jesus. So if you are a disciple of Jesus, then this is yours. So you're welcome to take communion with us. And here's what I'm going to recommend. Don't rush this. One of the reasons why we only do this collectively once a month is because I don't want it to become such a habit that people just, you know, start going through the motions. We do offer every Sunday. If you want communion, there's always a table when we're not doing communion publicly with everyone. There's always a table in the back that you can take communion yourself. It's here every week. But some of us in this room need to be reminded that it was Jesus' work for you. And some of us in here need to be reminded that your ability isn't there to save yourself from your current situation. But He is. God is always looking for people that will bend the knee and surrender to Him and say, God, I've made a mess of it, and I need You. And this is a great way to do that. This is a great way for you to remind yourself that you're not your personal Savior, that He is, that you put your trust in your life here. And so what I'd recommend, we're going to start worship in just a second after I pray, and I recommend you sit there for a second. If you've got some sin that you're struggling in, Paul made it really clear that we should deal with that before we take this. If there's something that you need to confess, the beauty of it is right now, before the song ends, you can lay it before the Lord and ask forgiveness and then take this with a clean heart. And so take as long as you want. I know as soon as people start singing, you feel like, I must be singing also. I give you permission to sit as long as you need. And then when you're ready, take it. Ask God to fill you again afresh today. So let's pray. Father, we want to listen. We want to hear. But Lord, we want to be people that will obey. And Lord, I pray this little bit of surrender right now as we take communion together. This little reminder that this is what You ask us to do. And us walking in this little step of obedience, Lord, I pray that You would help it carry over into the rest of our life. That as we're filled with the reminder of Your finished work on the cross, that we right now have an opportunity to be holy and pure and righteous because of Your work finished on the cross for us. Lord, help us put our trust and faith in You. Help us be renewed today. And Lord, I pray that You would take away the guilt and shame of missteps as people are willing to say, today I choose to walk in faith for You and Your word. So Lord, for those that are willing, Lord, as they ask You to speak, Lord, I pray that today that You would fill afresh, that You would give them a word from the Lord, a thing that You're asking them to walk in. And Lord, I pray that Your faith, just like Timothy, would fuel the fire that would build Your kingdom and grow Your church. We love You, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.